guys, it's episode 590 of All Time Top 10. You didn't think that we'd get through the year without one of our patented rage-inducing songs episodes, did you? Once a year, we like to turn our critical eye towards something we actually don't like and play what we consider crappy music instead of our usual awesome music. But don't fret, because you'll probably like most of the songs you'll hear in part one of top 10 rage-inducing songs we hate that everybody else likes. So don't worry. The fabulous Joe Lavelle returns to AETTT, as well as our good friend Amy Wolitz, who hasn't appeared on the show in 9 years. But we're delighted to have Amy back for this ridiculous romp through some songs that the masses like more than we do. Picks 10 through 6 in part 1 coming up next. All right, thanks so much to all of you who have found us on Threads and Blue Sky. We do appreciate it. We are still delivering fun stuff like music polls over on Facebook and Twitter as well, and Instagram. But, you know, now we're on those other up-and-coming sites. You guys have been sounding off in some fun music polls, voting for the bonus track of the week, and also helping us reveal 3 more songs in our long-running and ongoing series, the AETTT 1000, our list of the 1000 greatest songs we've ever heard. We are still deep in hip-hop mode this week and getting deeper into the 600s. Where's this thing going? This week at number 697, we talked about Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back. I was asking you guys, what's the all-time best back song? You guys had 77 different picks here. I'll just list off a few, okay? Because we love Baby Got Back, but also Backstreets, I Want You Back, Back in the High Life by Steve Winwood, Backseat of My Car, Backstabbers, Right Back Where We Started From by Maxine Nightingale, The Hoodoo Gurus, I Want You Back, The Boys Are Back in Town, Back in the Saddle, Back in Black, Back in Baby's Arms, Get Back, My Back Pages, Backdoor Man, I Won't Back Down, Echo and the Bunny Men, The Back of Love, Fleetwood Mac, Never Going Back Again, and The Beatles, I'll Be Back, and Back in the USSR. But we honestly, sincerely love Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot, and that's at number 697. And number 696, we have Outkast with Ms. Jackson. I was asking you guys, what's the all-time best hip-hop duo? Good picks from you guys, Eric B. and Rakim, Salt and Peppa, Gangstar, Run the Jewels, Public Enemy, Gnarls Barkley, and Mobb Deep. But we love Outkast, of course, and the song Ms. Jackson. Our friend Nick Arndt wants to know if it will be featured in the upcoming Top 10 Songs of the Year 2000 episode. We shall see about that. But also about Outkast. Our friend Mark Mason says Outkast all day, every day. And Kate Brennan says Outkast is tops. I agree. And number 695, we had Lauryn Hill with Doo-Wop, That Thing. I was asking you guys, who was the best all-time one-album wonder? Good suggestions here from you folks. Jeff Buckley, The Sex Pistols, Dennis Wilson, John Bryan, Blind Faith, Chris Gaines, Derek and the Dominoes, The Grays, Mary Margaret O'Hara, Myra Holder, and The Beckys. We love Lauryn Hill, of course, and the song Doo-Wop, That Thing. Fun fact from our friend Jet. He says Lauryn Hill's debut album was scheduled to come out on August 25th, 1998, but was delayed due to her getting high, starting a precedence that would later ripple into her live performances. Thank you for that, Jet. We'd appreciate your input there. So those 3 songs are now added to the AETTT 1000 playlists. They are over there at Spotify and YouTube. Check it out. They're going in interesting places, I will say. And really happy with how that's coming together. Let's now get into this episode. Let's talk to Joe and Amy and get their takes on what you guys like, but they don't, and why. Let's do it. Roll the tape.
My name is Ed.
He's sick of the Swiss.
That's right. I'm sick of their good reputation.
He's really sick of the Swiss.
I'm sick of their cheese. I'm sick of their chocolate. and I'm especially sick of their plucky heroine, Heidi.
He's sick of the Swiss. You don't like them.
I mean, every other nation in the world has taken their turn being maligned and slandered, but not the Swiss.
Icky, yucky, stinky, stupid Switzerland.
Well, that situation is over as of now. Move over, America. There's a new asshole on the map. I've had it up to here with your skiing heroes. I've had it up to here with your mountains. I've had it up to here with your secret bank accounts. From now on, Switzerland, your name is Mud.
If you roast them all in a fondue pot, yeah, sure bet that they'll complain a lot. Whiny, whiny Switzerland.
It's war between the Swiss and me. But they've never done anything wrong, you say. Ha-ha! What about the clock?
The clock.
Huh? If they hadn't invented the clock, I'd still be in bed, dreaming.
It's time. It's time. It's time to hate the Swiss.
Zurich heads, cuckoo cuckoos, landlocked losers, neutral ninnies, boring bankers, yep, chalet pimps.
Oh, yeah, his name is Ed. Yeah. He'd like to see the Swiss dead. He's sick of the Swiss. Hey, got a problem with that, Belgium?
Top 10 rage-inducing songs we hate that everybody else loves. Part 1.
I went to a garden party to reminisce with my old friends. A chance to share old memories and play our songs again. When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same. But it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Man, I was double interrupted in my intro. Man. It's been a while. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another lumpy episode.
Whoa.
Of all time top 10. Yeah.
Yay.
It's been so long since I've had the pleasure of the company of Miss Amy Wolitz. Amy Wolitz is back, everybody.
That's me.
I remember her.
It's been a long time.
You know, I want to know how many people that still listen to the show now were listening to it back in Amy Wolitz years. 2013, 2014.
2012.
That's right. We did Kill Radio.
Yep. Kill Radio. I was just going to say, she goes all the way back to the Kill Radio days.
Yep.
3-hour episodes.
She was a guest before I was ever a guest.
Shout out to Matt Dinan and Alice Cooper. Top 10 Alice Cooper songs. Yeah, and Amy is back. Amy, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you for having me.
It's our honor to have you back. And those who haven't heard Amy, go check out those old episodes way back in the day. I think they're in like the double digit.
Like, yeah, I think so.
Like less than 100 back in those years.
And it's at the archives.
There are classics, and they're at the archives at Mixcloud. So anyway, Amy, there's somebody else here.
Is there?
I've heard there's a Joel Lavelle in the house. Joel Lavelle's here.
Oh my gosh, we love him.
Who's we? Welcome back, Joe.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What do you think of my topic?
It's a hot topic.
Is it hot? I think it's hot.
It's a hot topic.
It's got me all riled up.
Yeah.
You spent the week listening to stuff that you hate. Yeah.
That'll do it.
Once a year or so, we love to do these, and I always feel like I've never been busted for having this show that plays longer than normal clips of songs, and it was a radio show, an internet radio show. That's why we were playing the complete song back in the day, you know. Right. But here, we just play clips, but I feel like the reason why no one's, like, you know, asked me to take down episodes and like record their music companies are going rah rah rah, probably because I'm small time. but partially, but also partially because I feel like I'm usually helping promote music and like wanting people to check out more music and being positive and, you know, like really like being a good force for the for music. And so like people are like, oh, leave him alone, he's nobody's listening to that show anyway. You know, but once a year we do have to explore the other side. I think we've done it every single year since like 2013 or something, and that's our patented rage inducing songs series. Joe, you were on one of these?
Nope.
Never?
No.
Oh, no, we did inexplicably odd covers. Yes. I was thinking that was a rage thing. That was something else.
Well, it might have been a rage for some of the listeners of that particular episode, but well, I enjoyed it.
Well, we're all going to get enraged listening to this episode.
That's right.
I'm already drinking.
Joe brought the Shiner Bock. Thank you, Joe. But yeah, we're doing one of those, and we had to squeeze one in before the year ends. And I just this song, I heard it at Trader Joe's, and we're going to talk about it shortly. I heard this song, and I remember, I just went back to when I always hated that song and still hate it, and knowing that so many people love that song, and I hate it. And that's what we're about. Top 10 rage-inducing songs we love. Oh, sorry. Rage inducing songs we hate that everybody else loves. Is that right?
That sounds right.
You guys understood the assignment?
Yes, definitely.
Cool. Joe, what do you think?
I am so excited to get enraged.
it hurts so good, right?
It does.
I normally, for these episodes, like go around and listen to my songs over and over again. I could not do it this week. Could not do it. Like,
well, I do that because, you know, we usually have, you know, 5 songs each, used to be 10 songs each, and I, you know, would listen over and over again.
Used to be 20 songs each back at Kill Radio when we did top 10 songs under 2 minutes long. Top 20 songs under 2 minutes, 40 songs featured in that episode. Archives, diggers. Anyway, go
but
on.
But I listen to them over and over again, you know, just to make sure that I have them placed in the list in the right spot. And you know, I can kind of sink into the idea of how the show's going to go. But we only each just brought 3 songs for this episode, so right. I didn't need to do that.
Okay. Yeah, it's, you know.
It's a little bit easier when you just have a few songs.
I don't really have a, you know, this is my order thing for my picks either. It's just 3 songs I hate.
Last episode that I appeared on, I only got 2 songs.
I know, we're scaling you back, Joe.
Yeah.
So yeah, how we're going to do this one is we're each going to get 3 picks, and then we will collaborate on what number one should be.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. So who wants to go first? Who wants number 10?
I would like to do number 10.
Joe Lavelle, have at it. We'll go clockwise.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to put it out that when I talk about a song... that a song sucks or that a musician sucks. There are people who are musically talented, but what do they do with that talent?
Right, right.
So I'm not necessarily saying that somebody is untalented or saying, you know, somebody hasn't, you know, run their scales enough.
Right.
I'm just saying that they suck.
They have no taste. Yes. They have shitty taste.
It's not working for you.
Yeah.
So
I got it.
I made a point, I decided that since the topic is songs that everybody loves but we hate, I was going to focus my attention on songs that I think listeners of All Time Top 10 love.
Ooh.
Because
yeah, there's
kind
probably
of like
a
cop-out
on my list.
To like put on a song and have all the listeners be like, oh yeah, I hate that song too.
Yeah, I saw
I wanna
listener
like butt
picks.
Heads.
By the way, thanks to everyone for your picks on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. But there's stuff on there, you know, that's like Ice Ice Baby. You know, like everybody hates that song. Come on, you can do better than that. But.
So listeners are going to get mad.
No, yeah, absolutely.
That I'm saying that a song that they like sucks.
That's going to happen a lot in this episode.
But the flip side of that is that the listeners get to listen to an episode with songs that they like in it.
Yeah.
They're just songs that they are wrong to like.
Yeah, they'll enjoy the music part of it. You know, just they won't enjoy when you scold them
for being
just completely wrong.
Well, this song, I wanted to do number 10 because this song shouldn't be so high up on the list. It's not that it's horrible. It's just that for this song, there is a huge chasm between my assessment of the song and other people's assessment of the song. It's not so much that I think the song sucks. It's just that I don't get how loved it is.
Yeah.
And who loves it? You know, it's not that we say that everybody loves, but you know, everybody can, you know, that covers everybody. Are we really saying everybody?
Of course not. But you know,
So there's, a category of people, called women, you know, these women. And
heard of that.
Some of them were born between like 1972 and 1978. So I don't know if you know any women who were born between 1972 and 1978.
Several, yes.
But they love this song. They really love this song.
Yes.
And I actually even thought that, oh, maybe it's white women born between 1972 and 1978. No, it turns out like, everybody. All women born between 1972 and 1978 love this song.
I'm pins and needles.
So actually, I think maybe if we'll do some like editing after we record to make it seem like this was your pick, because I don't want all the women born between 1972 and 1978 to be angry at me. Because they love this song.
Well, you put yourself in this position. So.
You're asking for it.
And yeah. Like I said, I don't hate it. I actually kind of like the pre-chorus.
What is it?
But the thing is, like, if I get the pre-chorus in my head, that goes into the chorus, which is like, ooh. It's a sing-along chorus. Like, when this song plays, everybody sings along, especially women born between 1972 and 1978.
Ooh, what?
And,
for the love of God.
I don't get it. When I see everybody get excited about the song, I just think, what's up?
Oh, yeah. Good pick.
Yeah. So, all women born between 1972 and 1978 love What's Up by Four Non Blondes.
Shannon Hurley does not, by the way.
So. I just don't well, get
one
it.
One woman who won't hate you.
No.
You were not born between 1972 and 1978, but you are a woman. Do you like the song or do you not like the song or are you indifferent?
I'm indifferent. Okay. It doesn't bother me, but it's not my favorite song.
You don't sing along with it?
Depends how inebriated I am.
Okay.
I hate it too. I really do. I've this was featured on a previous rage inducing episode.
Oh, was it?
The first
did you put it on?
First one, I did.
Okay.
The first volume. And part of the reason why I hate it is because it's boring. And, you know, sorry for those who like it. But when I was doing that live band karaoke thing, it's the same four chord progression the entire time, right? And we'd have to do it 2-3 times a night.
Wow.
Wow.
And, yeah. And then whoever tries to sing that, like, just kind of, like, kills your ear. You know? So, bad memories of, you know, it is like, a good chill-out song to play where you can just, like, you know, take a break. Just turn your brain off, basically. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm with you on this one.
Yeah. Well, But we're going to edit this to make it seem like it's your pick so that...
No.
he already picked it.
I already...
Yeah.
Double
pick for Ben.
Ooh, I get two in a row.
That much.
Matt, our friend Matt, I think that's Matt Dynan. He agrees with you.
Oh, my goodness.
He says, the Four Non Blondes with What's Up. Number 10.
Number 10. What's Up?
Still trying to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination. I realized quickly when I knew I should that the world was made up of this brotherhood of man, for whatever that means. Into a crisis sometimes when I'm lying. I am feeling a little peculiar.
ocean. And I pray, oh my God, do I pray? I pray for single day, for revolution. Into a crisis of times when I'm lying in bed, just to get it all out, what's in my head. And I am feeling a little peculiar. Into a wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath.
Sorry about that. I made us listen to way more of that than we should have. Joe LaBelle, how dare you? All those women from all those years.
I know. I don't think that we're getting off on the right foot, though, because there was too much agreement in the room about not liking the song.
That's
like strong
okay.
agreement from you and indifference from Amy. So I think you really need to hit us with something that Amy and I love that you hate.
Okay.
See if he can do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll do what I can for number 9. So this one actually makes me feel guilty about hating, only because the formation of this band came out of tragedy, which I'll talk about later. But I remember when the Polyphonic Spree became a thing. Remember this?
Yeah.
2002, they played this big thing at South by Southwest, and like everyone's like, "Oh my God, the Polyphonic Spree is so amazing!" And like, what you remember what they looked like on stage?
Not really, but they were kind of like music nerds, right?
No, they looked like a cult. They all wore white robes. Uh-huh. There's like 30 people on stage, and they're singing these songs about reaching for the sun and stuff. Reach yeah. for the sun. But it, like, people thought it was like, it was so cool because, you know, it was like the hipster thing of the moment, basically. Mm-hmm. But I don't like the songs much, but what I really hate about it is the sound of it, because they have at any given time 25 members, and there's 8 people specifically doing backing vocals, and then there's all these other instruments that other people in the band are playing: harp, cello, trumpet, French horn, flute, trombone, violin, mandolin, all this stuff. And it's just like a cacophony. Mm-hmm. And it sounds terrible. It's not like arranged well. It's just like, let's celebrate, and then everyone play your instruments however you feel like, even if it's not all in the same key. Like, it sounds like a mess. So that really, like that was the first thing I thought of when I heard it, when I first heard it. Like, that sounds awful. What are they doing? I was in orchestra for, you know, 9 years. So just, you know, that part bugged me, and it just, everyone was just fawning over them.
Yeah, we run in different social circles.
Why is that?
Because I can't think of anybody who loves the Polyphonic Spree. I mean, I can think of people who are like, maybe like at the time, you know, had it, you know,
Ryan
in their
Blake
rotation.
Is a big fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, well,
has he ever played them on the show?
He has. The very first song of the very first episode.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. He played the song we're going to hear.
Wow.
It was top 10 feel good songs.
Screw you, Ryan Blake.
And he played this song from the Polyphonic Spree. So it's crazy, like, going through like their Wikipedia. There's if they have a big list of people, former band members. There's 92 former band members. Like, it's crazy. And one of them is Annie Clark, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
A.K.A. St. Vincent. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep. She played guitar in the band for a little while.
Who likes 92 people?
Who has 92 friends?
Well, I don't have 92 friends, but I also don't like 92 people.
Well, they're not in the band anymore, so maybe you didn't like them.
That's how it happens.
Anyway.
Wouldn't it be awesome, like, if like behind the scenes this was just like the bitchiest, cattiest band ever?
Yeah, they all hate each other.
I mean, she calls herself St. Vincent now. No.
The way they appear on stage, it doesn't sound like that, though. It sounds like they're all like in a cult. They look like a cult. Anyway, you could look them up.
I've never listened to them, but one of the members organized the Alice Cooper reunion show a few years ago.
Really?
So I have a positive association.
Okay. All right. Well, to me, it's a musical problem. It's too much. It's too much. And I found this on medium.com, an article titled "The Most Important Rule in Popular Music." And they talk about music's rule of three. The idea is to have only three musical phrases playing at any one time in your song. Going beyond three or four elements at once can crowd your track, making it harder for your audience to connect and recall your composition. Nearly all of popular music, with few exceptions, conform to the rule of three. And while it's profoundly simple, it is difficult to master. But if you're looking to make a hit song, learn to use it. Done well, the simplicity of the three can help you craft a hit. Grammy-winning producer Jack Joseph Puig confirms this when he says, quote, "The human ear can only hear three things at once." So
they took that as a challenge.
Yeah. So see if you can hear only three things out of what you're about to hear.
Okay.
That makes any sense. This is Light and Day from the Polyphonic Spree, number nine.
Number nine, Light and Day.
How about during this one part?
I mean, if you're going to call yourself
some of you
the
stop poly- playing. Yeah. How about only like 16 people play instead of 25, just for this one part? Just
take a break.
Yeah, if stagger
you're,
your.
If you're going to call yourself polyphonic, though, I mean, you really got to go for it. You got to earn that name.
I understand that, but I mean,
you can't just be like biphonic or triphonic,
monophonic.
What were you going to say? Something about this era?
Like 2003 was kind of when they launched it at South by.
2002, 2003. Yeah,
yeah. There was like kind of a spot like in that time. I guess I'm thinking maybe about 3 years later, but maybe it started earlier than I thought. There was like this sweet spot where like Mormons believed that they were going to break through to the mainstream.
Oh yeah,
and there was just Big like love. This kind of like joy. You know, throughout the LDS community.
When was this?
Like, before 2010.
Is it because of the show Big Love?
No, because that, you know, paints a completely different picture.
It does, doesn't
like,
it?
Like, where was that? There was an American Idol year where there was, like, an 18-year-old Mormon dude, and, like, every Mormon, like, you know, phoned in to vote for him like every week. And I think he won.
Yeah, well, Mitt Romney's Mormon.
So. Yeah, but I can just imagine, like, you know, during that era, like, Mormons going nuts for that.
Yeah, for that song.
For that song, yeah.
It's a very Mormon vibe with all those members.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely, especially when you see them.
But I don't think everybody loves that song, though.
Well, people, like, thought it was amazing when it first came out and, like, yeah, wouldn't shut up about it. The reason why I wanted to mention, the reason why I feel bad about hating that band is because this. This is from NPR.org. Group leader Tim DeLauder formed the Polyphonic Spree in 2000 following the breakup of his previous group, Tripping Daisy. Remember them? That band's run as one of the more popular alt group pop groups ended abruptly when its guitarist Wes Bergen died of a drug overdose in 1999. DeLauder formed the Polyphonic Spree partly as a reaction to his death in his search for light in the darkness. So that's why. Like,
but when you can, like, spread your grief out amongst 25 people,
it's good strategy. I mean,
like, yeah, anybody who experiences a tragedy, find 25 people and sing some songs.
There you go. Yeah. Anyway, all right, Amy, you are up now with number 8.
All right.
She's got notes.
Yeah. Yes. This was actually one of my alternates, but I was toying with the idea the whole drive over here, if it should be one of my main picks, and so I decided that it is. Mm. Let's see.
Called an audible.
She has notes for her alternates.
For your football
have
fans.
Have to. I'm prepared. It's great. Of course, it was nice at first to see an older song by a talented artist get some attention in this day and age, but that nice feeling didn't last long. You'd think that people might have been inspired to delve into Kate Bush's catalog if they enjoyed one of her songs so much, but no. We just want to listen to the same song ad nauseum. Please shoot me the next time this song comes on, and I think everybody knows which one I'm talking about.
Oh, man.
Thanks to Stranger Things.
Run up that hill.
Yep, that's right.
You hate it?
I didn't hate it at first.
Yeah. People are going to be madder at you than they are at me. Oh, thank you for taking the heat.
I'll take that.
That was appreciated. That's a big one, right?
Yeah.
That was a case of overdoing it. It didn't bother me at first, but I've heard it so many times now everywhere I go that that's enough.
They did play it incessantly in that series.
They did.
Did you watch the series?
I did, yes.
Yeah, like...
And everybody just latched onto that.
Yeah, it's like her song, so she needs to keep listening to it in order to, you know, fight off the evil. And so she's playing it over and over again. You really do hear it like 30 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's enough.
I'm glad someone agrees with me.
I do like this song, though. But yeah, I understand.
At least listening to Wuthering Heights or something, change it up.
There you go. I mean, I think a lot of people did, though.
Not that I've heard.
No. You haven't heard
the only Kate Bush song I hear anymore.
Oh, I was thinking it would have sparked, you know, young people
to
go.
That's what I thought.
It didn't happen. This is a singles generation. They're not an album generation.
Well, young people might be checking out the other stuff like on their own.
They can
on their own
easily
devices.
Now, yeah.
But maybe, you know, people who are programming, you know, the music subscription service at Ralph's.
Right.
Aren't. They're
right.
Just
sticking
with the
one. I'll place the blame on them then.
Yeah.
Ralph's. I want to buy some peaches when I listen to this woman's work. Anyway, let's listen to some Kate Bush.
All right. I don't mind. I'll listen to this.
Me too. Running Up That Hill. Great.
Number 8. Running Up That Hill.
If only cool, I don't wanna
Amy, if she was ready to turn it off. Yes, please. It's enough. Yeah.
That one doesn't make me as mad as the next two will, but we'll get into that.
Okay. Joe Lavelle is up with number 7.
Okay. So this next band, like I said when we started the show, you know, you can be talented but also suck.
Yes.
They're talented. They're definitely talented, but they suck because they're dumb. And their songs are dumb, and they look dumb, and everything about them is just dumb, and they suck.
Tell us how you really feel.
And they had, like, they had, you know, a few years, a few albums with, you know, hit singles in the 80s. And then they maintained a career, you know, past then, but, you know, they were not in the public consciousness anymore. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, well, you know, they had their time. And at the time, I was a kid in the 80s, and I thought, well, this band sucks. and their songs are dumb, and they look dumb, and they're just dumb. But
ouch.
Even though I was, like, aware that they still had a career and they had fans, you know, they weren't part of, you know, everyday experience. And I probably wouldn't have even thought of them to put them on this list. But over the past few years, I've noticed on social media that people love this band, despite the fact that they suck and they're dumb and they look
Joel
dumb and their
so
songs
angry
are dumb.
Right now.
He does.
And everything about them is just dumb. And
so dumb.
You mentioned, you know, this episode was inspired because a song came on while you were at Trader Joe's.
Yes.
And I had just mentioned Ralph's. You know, you go to these places where they have their music subscription service, and you know,
sure,
if you're gonna, you know, buy a candy bar, you have to hear what they're playing. And they tried it. They tried it, you know, to fill the list with songs that everyone loves.
Right.
And
except for Joel Lavelle.
I was in Ralph's, and mm-hmm. I went on and I took out my phone. I stood in the aisle, took out my phone to open Facebook to post, "Hey, Ralph's, whoever programs the music subscription service at Ralph's, thank you for reminding me that this song sucks."
And I think I saw this. I can't remember what you
people
put,
jumped
what
into the comments, and they're like, "No, you're wrong. That song's awesome. How dare you say that? That song is so good." So all
so
of their
like
songs...
a perfect candidate for this list.
It does.
All of their songs suck. Because they're dumb, and the band is dumb, and they look
so
dumb. And
mad.
But I'm going to put on the list, I'll put the song that I heard at Ralph's that I mentioned on Facebook that everybody got angry at me for saying that it sucked, even though it does suck.
Who is it?
Even though the entire band's catalog sucks, we're going to listen to the particular sucky song, "Sowing the Seeds of Love."
Oh,
by Tears for Fears.
You know, for a brief moment, I thought about, is he talking about Tears for Fears? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep, they suck.
Somehow it doesn't surprise me that Joe feels this way.
And they look dumb, and they are dumb, and their songs are dumb.
Their disagree.
Hair is dumb, and their clothes
I'm gonna
are
really
dumb.
I'm going to really enjoy listening to this, because I actually really like this song. This was featured in top 10 Beatlesque songs.
It's not Beatlesque.
It's not?
But I'm going to go Beatlesque. To the Eisenhurley kitchen and get a second beer while this song is playing.
Joe's getting his Shiner Bock. All right. Let's.
It's so bad. It's such a bad song.
Well, I'm going to make you listen to a bunch of it when you come back. You think you're going to get off easy by going to get a beer? I don't think so.
Everybody's suffering tonight.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is like the Clockwork Orange. I got you strapped in. Exactly. I'll enjoy every minute of this, okay. Though. I like this song a lot.
Have fun. Okay. I'll get a beer.
Joe says anything from Tears for Fears, dumb as they are. But let's listen to Sowing the Seeds of Love, number 7.
Number 7. Sowing the Seeds of Love.
Maddie's squirming.
It's bad. It's a bad song.
I was so mad.
It's a bad song. It really is.
I enjoy it.
It's like,
But yeah, Amy said you dug it, but then you like took a swipe at Everybody Who Wants to Rule the World.
Which also sucks.
Another one I've heard too much.
I like it. See you guys. All right, let's go.
See, the thing is, I can enjoy just a dumb pop song, and I can enjoy like a super smart pop songwriter.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get somebody who thinks they're smart, so they try to write how they think a smart person would write.
Ouch.
And that's Tears for Fears.
Oh, man.
They write how they think a smart Direct person would write.
Did they really write their own songs?
Of course they do. Oh, my God.
Right. Well, nobody else is going to claim them.
They did all right for themselves. Let's go to number six. And this is the song that I heard at Trader Joe's.
Okay.
That, like, really, like, this was, like, where the topic was born when I heard this. And I hadn't heard it in, like, 30 years. And it sucked just as bad then as it did back in the day. And I've always hated the song. I can never really explain why. Maybe it's because it came out in 1987. And my favorite bands in 1987 were Van Halen and Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses and the Beastie Boys and Def Leppard. You know, that stuff. And I like loud, obnoxious heavy metal. This song is the exact opposite of that. It's wimpy. It's repetitive. It has a really dated sounding production. I mean, there's a lot of like late 80s production choices that are coming back. This will not fit in with... No, it sounds like 1987. It's awful. I cannot believe I'm probably the only one in the world that doesn't like Wishing Well by Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Oh, yeah, I'm indifferent.
Yeah, I'm indifferent. Yeah.
Different.
Yeah, indifferent.
I actively hate this song.
Okay. I can't think of anyone who loves it, though.
I'd rather eat at Arby's than listen to Terrence Trent D'Arby. Actually,
they probably played
down.
It there.
They played it. Yeah. Well, they torture you wherever you are. You're at a grocery store or whatever, and you're a captive audience. I really hate... This song got stuck in my head this week, too.
Oh, yeah. Poor Jerry.
Yeah, and especially the really obnoxious part, the post-chorus instrumental melody. It makes me so mad. I will say something about Terrence Trent D'Arby, though, that is kind of interesting. I found from songfacts.com. He changed his name to Sananda Maitreya. In 2001, regarding the name change, he told SongFacts that...
Wait, SongFacts actually got to talk to him?
They do interviews now.
Oh.
Yeah.
I always thought like SongFacts was all like speculation.
No. It's come a long way. I think
here's what I think the facts are.
No, it used to be. It used to be that way. But no, it's well-sourced, and they actually do interviews. Like,
right.
Yeah. So Terrence Trent D'Arby said this to SongFacts. He said, Sandhya Maitreya said this. He said, Terrence Trent D'Arby had died. His psyche had been shot full of so many arrows that he could no longer hold his spirit. After intense pain, I meditated for a new spirit, a new will, and a new identity. Sananda Maitreya is an opportunity for me, this spirit, to live with a new psyche and use it to continue my work, the work I came to Earth for.
Yeah, I mean, when you got to distance yourself from your own songs,
it's pretty bad.
Then you know those songs suck.
Well, people love it to this day. It's still, you know, beloved by lots of people.
I think in the 80s, bad taste. Radio DJs liked saying the name Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Yeah.
And next from Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Yeah, and he was sort of, you know, kind of a mystery. Like, he kind of was like Prince a little bit, like Lenny Kravitz before Lenny Kravitz. He had a very, you know, interesting look. You know, so people wanted to like him. Sign Your Name is a good song, but this one, Wishing Well. I hate it so much. Let's listen. Let's get it over with. Number six,
Wishing Well.
Kissing like a bandit, stealing time. By the awesome Valentine's, to my sweet lover at May. Slowly but surely, yeah.
lover wishing well to kiss and tell. Her wishing well, a crocodile she sang.
Bunch of chimpanzees farting or something. Come on.
No, that's like a chimpanzee is too big to have such a high pitched fart. You're like, what's like a tiny little rhesus
monkey?
Oh, yeah. It's more like it.
I don't know. Anyway, that's Terrence Trent.
What kind of monkey was the monkey that Marion had on her shoulder in the first Indiana Jones movie?
Oh, yeah.
That kind of monkey would make a fart like that.
Good question.
That monkey ate some bad dates. Anyway, that is...
And that's where the farts came from.
As it was dying.
They cut that out of the movie.
It's probably for the best. Anyway, that's number six. We are at the halfway point, everybody. So that means
I love that, like, Terrence Trent D'Arby went to Steven Spielberg and said, "That part that you cut out where the monkey farts, can I sample that?" And Steven Spielberg, he's a laid back guy. He's like, "Sure." Wow. To this day, Steven Spielberg still gets, like, you know, 50 cents every time that song plays.
Every time I want to rip my hair out when I hear that part. The rest of it, admittedly, it's not terrible, but that part just murders my brain, and I hate it so much. Anyway, that is number six, and this means...
This is a difficult topic to listen to all these rage-inducing songs. I think I need to take, like, a week break.
You want
to
take a week
I
off?
I need to take Sounds a week off before we listen to any more of these rage-inducing songs.
That's funny you would say that, because it's actually what we're going to do.
Nice!
Yeah, it's almost like you knew I was going to say something like that. Yeah, everyone, that was number six, so we're at the halfway point. We're at the end of part one. And we'll be back next week with picks 5 through 1 in part 2. But right now, before we go, it is time for the bonus track of the week for part 1. This is a song that is requested by our friends on social media, and I hope it doesn't suck for most people. It will suck for at least one. Check it out. Say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, see everybody. Week. See you next week.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Your everyone. Taste sucks.
They suck. We'll be back next week, everyone. Thanks for listening, and until next time, peace out.
As chosen by our listeners on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, here's the bonus track of the week.
Hey, everybody, it's time for the listener pick bonus track of the week, selected by our friends on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky. Thank you so much to everyone that made picks and everyone that voted. These are the songs you guys were voting on for top 10 rage-inducing songs we hate that everybody else loves. We had Toto with Africa. We had Outkast with Hey Ya. We had American Pie by Don McLean losing out by one vote. A very contentious battle between American Pie and Hotel California by the Eagles. And yeah, you guys really hate both of those songs. A lot of you do, anyway. I saw some people sticking up for them. But yeah, our friend Nathan says, "I'd be fine never hearing Hotel California ever again." what was it? David says he's sick of Hotel California. Got sick of it quickly, as back when he was in college, everyone seemed to play it in his dorm room. And Devin says even the album cover makes him sick. So that's how you really feel, guys. But yeah, Hotel California by the Eagles is the pick. Thanks to Mark, Bobby, Pat, and Dazzy, who suggested this one. And thanks so much to the great Joel Lavelle and the great Amy Wallitz. We'll be back with part two of our favorite songs we hate that everybody else loves. Check it out next week. Stick around for that, but also stick around for this. Here it is, the bonus track of the week, Hotel California by the Eagles. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And until next week, peace out.
Listener pick.
They stab it with their steely knives, but they just can't.